Hi, welcome to this week's edition of 10 Minutes Ticket Talks. I got a unique guest with us this week. Casey Harmon is the head of ticket sales from the Wells Fargo Championship. We've had a lot of people on that are team sport people, college athletics people. Casey comes to us as the head of ticket sales for a standalone event, yet his background is in a lot of team sports and college athletics. So he'll be able to give us a great perspective on some of what the Wells Fargo's done to make them one of the top 10 tournaments on the PGA Tour and exceptionally successful in the business community here in the Charlotte area. Casey, welcome. Thanks for coming and thanks for joining us.
Steve, appreciate it and good to see you again.
Yes, tell us, let's start off by give us a little bit of your background, some of your experiences on the team sports side and the event side and how that kind of ties together and what's different.
Sure. So, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, I've had a background in a bunch of different sports, a bunch of different cities. So I started in minor league baseball in St. Louis, which is my hometown. So I got that experience, which I think is invaluable for any young person getting into the business, is if you can do minor league sports, then you can pretty much do anything. From there, moved to NASCAR and NHRA racetrack in Memphis, where I was mostly ticket ops, but then transitioned into ticket sales, director of ticket sales there. I was there for about 3 years running that NASCAR and NHRA track in Memphis. From there, got an opportunity to go back to my hometown in St. Louis and work in collegiate sports at Chaffetz Arena in St. Louis, the St. Louis University basketball arena, and managing all their ticket operations there. So definitely different perspective, lots of other events, ancillary events, outside events, you know, Disney shows and concerts and festivals and things like that, in addition to basketball and volleyball. From there, got a great opportunity to open a new building in Philly, Major League Soccer, with the Philadelphia Union, and really transformed my career. Again, started in ticket ops there and really built that program. And then transitioned over to senior director of ticket sales and operations, running the sales and service team as well as operations for the team. Was there for about 6 years really was a unique experience. From there, I got a chance to go to the NFL with the Browns in Cleveland, doing ticket operations there as well and really transforming them from a paper ticket organization to a mobile ticket organization and helped that transition, as well as analytics, really robust analytics program there as well. And from there, got an opportunity to come back down here to Charlotte and run the Wells Fargo Championship ticketing down here, which has been a great experience. And to your point, they're all a little bit different, right? You know, the golf tournament here, golf is a very different sport than any of the ones that I had previously worked in. We get one shot. There's one event a year. We get 7 days, and it's 7 days, but it's really 4 days to get things right, to sell as much revenue, generate as much revenue as we possibly can, show as much value to our fans and our partners as we possibly can, you know, and hopefully put on a good show. And hopefully the weather stays nice and we can have a successful tournament all the way around. So I think just, you know, to answer your question, it's a long-winded answer, but I think, you know, there's a few things that are different from a standalone event to a team sport. Again, one week a year is all we get to show the value and to sell what we, you know, show the value in what we're selling. Our patrons, generally speaking, don't make their decision to buy tickets until the last 30 to 60 days out. So we have these marketing efforts that are ongoing, but decision-making doesn't happen really until you're 2 months out. So there's some challenges with that. You know, we are on the positive side. We are a charity. We are a 501c3. Almost every PGA Tour tournament is a 501c3 charity, which certainly helps in these conversations, right? Businesses can write some of this cost off as a charitable donation. And so it's, you know, it certainly helps us from that perspective. Ancillary events, we have lots of ancillary events around tournament, the 4 days of the tournament. We have Women's Day, we have a business networking event, we have pro-ams. Those are all sellable assets. Those are all sponsorable assets. Those are, you know, general fans are buying these tickets and donating their dollars to these ancillary events. And then obviously the Tour and the FedEx Cup branding certainly helps us as well. Those are major national brands that that help us market. Now they have 40 other events going on throughout the year, so we only get that 1 week of marketing and social media push, but it certainly helps with the branding. So there's a mix of good and bad, but certainly unique.
So you're talking, we've got 7 days of the event. We've got 30 to 60 days for people buying tickets. A lot of our listeners will say, what do you do the rest of the year?
It's a great question. There's lots of planning. There's lots of discussions. You know, speaking about the ancillary events, there's lots of discussion around what other ancillary events can we have that'll generate revenue? What other sponsorable assets do we have or that we can create to generate additional revenue? You know, and again, it goes back to the charity piece where, you know, it is helpful for us to attach that charity, the charity donation to anything that we're selling, right? I mean, at the end of the day, when our operating expenses are paid, everything else is going back into the community as a charitable donation. So that's a lot of it. You know, we also have 2,500 volunteers that we have to coordinate. And all of those people have shifts that are 7 days. You know, we cram everybody into 7 days, right? So coordinating all of those people, they have uniforms, they have, again, they have schedules to coordinate all these people. You have people who are ghost you and drop off, and people who are, you know, coming in late and all those types of things. There's coordination there. Activation with our partners. You know, most of it happens during tournament week, but we do have partners that activate outside of tournament week, and those things have to be coordinated. And, you know, if there's events, those have to be coordinated and set up and, you know, sponsored and things like that. So I know it seems like a little ridiculous that you get 11 and a half months to plan for a 1 week, but you know, I told somebody the other day, I'm as busy now 6 months before the tournament as I've ever been this far out. So obviously there's extenuating circumstances this year. However, you know, the continued drive to find revenue generating events and opportunities never stops.
So one of the things you guys have done a fantastic job with at the Wells Fargo is the business community and the dollars you generate from the business community. Yet it's more or less you and maybe one or two other people. Talk a little bit about your strategy and the secrets to success you've had of getting the Charlotte business community to be so attentive and so involved with the Wells Fargo.
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think, you know, I always go back to the brand. We're fortunate that the brand is so strong. We've been here for 17 years. Obviously the, you know, the logo's changed, the name has changed a couple of times. We used to be the Wachovia Championship, then it was the Quail Hollow Championship, now it's Wells Fargo Championship, but, the brand has stayed strong, and the event has stayed strong throughout the years. Charlotte obviously is a great community for golf. The entire state of North Carolina is a great golf community. So we are fortunate to be in a great market. But at the same time, the brand has been strong, and I think we're growing the brand as well, not just with our renewing customers and renewing partners, but we're finding new partners, we're finding new fans, we're finding younger audiences, we're finding people that are, you know, maybe just seeing the brand for the first time or just learned about what we're all about and that we are a charity. I find people, you know, every day that didn't know we were a charity, and we give, you know, $1.5 to $2 million back to Charlotte community every year. So I think that's really strong. That certainly helps in our conversations, right? People know who we are when we're walking into a building.
You say finding them. How are you finding them? If somebody was listening to this, what tricks could you relay to another team exec or a ticket sales exec that says, here's a way to find people that are uncovered that you never really thought of before?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's a little bit twofold, and one of them is a little more generic, but we rely heavily on networking and relationships. This was the other piece, is we're fortunate to have great relationships, and we foster these relationships throughout the year, right? The other 11 and a half months that we're not doing anything. We continue to have conversations and ask about, you know, how can we create more value for you as a partner? These relationships are strong, and that, you know, referrals would be the word, but we don't really call them referrals necessarily. It's more networking for us, right? It's relationship networking. And, you know, it certainly helps us, right? Everybody, I wouldn't say everybody, a lot of people like to go play golf and talk business and, you know, try to get things done. And so we have the opportunity to go play golf around town and take people out and, you know, buy them around or buy them lunch or whatever. And let's have a conversation and see if something makes sense. We get introduced to these people by current partners and former partners and people we have relationships with the tournament that may not be a paying partner. Maybe they're a trade partner or, you know, they're associated with us in a different way, but we do a good job of mining those relationships and leveraging those relationships and asking those questions of, hey, you know, who else would be interested in partnering with you or with us? That's a big part of what we do. I know it's, you know, it seems a little pie in the sky, but for us in the golf community and what our brand represents and how we operate and relationships we have within the golf community and within Quail Hollow, to be honest with you, they have a lot of relationship to the golf club as well. We really do a good job of leveraging those.
So simple. Ask for help. People you're already doing business with. Hey, who else do you know? What about so-and-so? What about so-and-so? The people at the club. Who else do you know that might be interested in doing this? Salespeople, sales managers get so fixated on phone call, phone call, phone call, phone call, phone call. But in reality, you can be wildly productive and wildly successful if you just take a step back and think, what other people do I already know who might have other friends connected to us that would be interested in our product? That's such an easy secret for success.
Exactly. That's you're 100% right. And it, you know, again, I think, you know, the brand helps and it does help to be able to put that behind it. But, you know, at the same time, like people like talking about sports in general, but people like talking about golf. You know, we make jokes all the time about, you know, your golf game and things like that. Like, that's funny stuff. Like, it's banter. It's not looking at spreadsheets. It's, you know, no offense to looking at spreadsheets, but it's not looking at spreadsheets. It's not talking about, you know, business stuff. It's, you know, it's talking about golf and having fun and doing things that are outside of your stressful bubble. Right. And that's what we try to key on.
All right. So last question, let's talk about the casual golf fan, the regular ticket sales, the non-hospitality. You guys are one of the best in the entire PGA, at generating huge crowds. Obviously you get some talented players to come that everybody wants to see, but you're also charging a pretty hefty penny. Talk through your strategy as it relates to social selling, digital selling, email marketing, and some of the grassroots strategies you guys put in place.
Yeah, it's something that's really evolved over the last couple of years, to be honest with you. We were not doing a lot of that kind of stuff from a digital marketing perspective, from a third-party social selling perspective. We hadn't been doing a lot of that, you know, outside of the last couple of years. So we've seen a good ROI on digital marketing, which I think a lot of people do, retargeting ads and some paid social here and there when it makes sense. We run some contests and did some paid social last year for, you know, an inside the ropes campaign where, you know, a lucky fan or two was able to, we call them honorary observers, but they're able to walk in a pro-am with pros, like inside the ropes. You're walking with these guys and you're hearing them talk about why they're hitting what a shot that they're hitting or what club they're using and why they're using that club. And it's just like super incredible access that nobody, you can't buy. So, you know, that's certainly part of it. You know, our database marketing, like I mentioned before, I think we're really starting to dive into that a little bit deeper. We hadn't really done a lot of that. And by that, I mean, leveraging our partners' database, of customers and employees to push out special offers, creative offers, even just regular offers, and getting the brand, you know, our logo and our website and our contact info in front of thousands and thousands of people, you know, again, I'll say for free, but these are partners that we're already, you know, working with, right? So there's some benefit to them of being able to treat their employees or their customers to a special offer for the Wells Fargo Championship. And it obviously helps us to get the brand and an offer in front of their people. You know, we're also talking about more grassroots, like you mentioned, sort of bringing the brand and bringing our trophy out to the people in the public, right? Of course, we have certain challenges right now, specifically, but part of the plan is to go take the trophy on a trophy tour around town. We'll go to some of the famous spots in Charlotte that people are aware of, and we'll go to some partners and have their employees take pictures with the trophy and things like that. And to your point, obviously the players, you know, if Tiger shows up, you know, he certainly helps the marketing campaign, right? But we don't know when those guys show up until literally the week before the tournament. So it almost does us no good, our marketing campaign. It's almost gravy on the top. So really what we've tried to do specifically is give our trophy a little bit of a personality, you know, have our trophy be, you know, a representation of the brand. Our logo is on the trophy. The trophy is a big, heavy piece of metal, right? We can take it places. We can do creative things with it on social media. We can give it a little bit of a personality and use that as a branding play as well. That's a little bit unique and a little bit different than maybe some other things. So All those things add up to, you know, just again, a lot of it's brand awareness, which is something I've tried to focus on the last couple of years, but we see incredible ROI on our retargeting ads, our digital marketing specifically, once we get into the new year, you know, once we're inside of 6 months or so.
Think about that as listeners. Two things that, here's a PGA golf tournament doing what a team should be doing. One is the fan experiences. We all know you can have the kids high five the players, you can have season ticket holders do an autograph session, but here's a golf tournament that's giving people access. And that's a key word, access. We all forget we're in sports business. It's kind of second nature to us. Yeah. If I need to, I can go down by courtside and go talk to so-and-so or, you know, be down close to the ice. But for the average fan, access, and I'm a golf guy. If you told me I had access to Roy McIlroy or Phil Mickelson or Tiger Woods, I'd be like, oh my gosh. And I've been in the sports business for nearly 30 years. So fan experiences and access, I think, is one. And then the grassroots, because social media is so powerful, taking the trophy out where people can take pictures of it. And what are they naturally going to do once they take the picture? They're not just going to take it home and show it to the little Johnny and little Susie or mom and dad. They're going to go post it on social media and they're going to tag it. And then if you're actively participating in your own property social media, you're sharing that, you're replying to them, you're commenting, which shares and creates even more buzz. That's the power of social and digital media, where it's not just, hey, I'm going to run digital ads. Those are great. 5-to-1, 6-to-1 return. But it's also just the constant visibility of people who are participating and you're engaging with them. Huge return on the investment. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, your point to access. I think that's something that I've tried to work on at all of my different stops in sports. How do we get access that you can't buy? How do we give people an opportunity to be somewhere during an event or a game that you can't buy? There's no value on it because it's literally priceless. Like you can't get this anywhere but right here and right now. And I think that's something everybody should really take a look at your own spot, right? How do you create those? Because those are experiences that people share for years. Like they don't tell the story once. Like if you get to, you know, to your point, stand next to Rory McIlroy for, you know, 9 holes, like that's an experience you're telling 10 years from now, 20 years from now, right? Like that's something that doesn't go away. So, and they'll always remember they did it at the Wells Fargo Championship. So those are the types of things that we're trying to work on here. But at every stop I've been on, I've tried to, you know, create those experiences as well.
All right. Last question. We've hit our 10-minute mark since I'm a big golf guy. Out of all the golfers you've interacted with at Wells Fargo, who's the nicest one?
Yeah, it's pretty easy for me. I think Rory is a really good friend of the tournament. I've really only met him once or twice, but everybody loves the guy. He's an incredible ambassador for the game. I think he's obviously widely respected around the game, within the tour, really across the world, but first class, and that's not to take away from anybody else, right? I have never heard a bad thing about any of these golfers coming into town. They're all first class. They all treat everybody amazingly. The athletes that come through, you know, Wells Fargo Championship specifically, they certainly act appropriately and they treat the fans amazingly. You see these things that aren't on camera and these guys are amazing. So fortunate to be associated with the tour for sure.
Awesome. Love it. Casey, thank you so much. Appreciate you being our guest this week. Good luck this May with the tournament. Hopefully you'll be able to play in front of large crowds and we'll see a guy like Phil or Rory or Tiger or somebody like that bringing home the trophy. Have a wonderful spring.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.